Welcome to Russell on the Move, LCCC's weekly community affairs update. To keep you connected to our mission of advancing equity through empowerment of children, adults, and families of Russell and other West Louisville neighborhoods. Spend the next hour tuned in right here. Get the latest news of family services, community opportunities, businesses, and economic development, and much more. Hear from our leaders and special guests. Call in to be a part of this history-making broadcast. Join LCCC's movement to create vibrant neighborhood conditions for children, for adults, and businesses to thrive socially, academically, artistically, and economically. This is the next episode of Russell on the Move with your host, Kevin Fields. Leading with vision, educating on economic mobility, advancing equity, developing quality.
Welcome back to Russell on the Move. This is Kevin Fields, CEO at the LCCC. And excited to bring you another episode of our weekly community affairs update. And we're here live in the studio, and it's a big day in the community. A lot going on, a lot to share. I do want to entertain our listening audience in ways that, in case you missed our show last week, you're not at a loss. We had a great show last week. We focused our show on Black Coffee, the owners of the Black Coffee Cafe in the Russell neighborhood. We're here, Ronyell Smith, Kevin Smith, had a great conversation with them. And in case you missed it, you can certainly go out to our website at lccnews.org. That's a L and three C's, N-E-W-S.org. Go out to our website and you can read the blog that's out there, and you can actually listen to the full interview on the website. And while you're there, check out this 75-year challenge blog, because we are promoting the fact that we're celebrating 75 years of our mission in the Russell neighborhood of advancing equity through the empowerment of children and families. And you can go out and learn about the challenge. We want you to step up to the challenge. And that simply means contribute a donation to the mission in increments of 75. And that means $75, $150, $300, you name it. As long as you can divide it by 75 and get a whole number, we want to accept that contribution for you. And we want to thank all the donors that have responded so far to the challenge. The donations are coming in each week, and we want to thank all of those who are making that commitment. So go out to the website, check out the blog. We've got a few blogs out there that you can check on, and we promise to keep Russell on the Move archived on our website. For those who may not be listening while we're live, you can listen to the podcast. So I'm excited to be in the studio today. I do have two very exciting guests, and we're going to focus today's conversation on children. You know, this is the season to focus on the kids, as if every day of the year is not the season to focus on the kids. You know, we got to focus on the kids 365 days per year. But this time of year is special because we're getting them ready, and we've gotten them ready to go back to school. And today would have been the second day of school, but for, you know, things didn't go so swell on the first day of school. So we're going to open up the lines for our listening audience, and we're going to invite you to call in. You know, one of the things we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about a few things as it relates to the kids. One, we had a great summer experience at LCCC operating two summer camps, and the leader of that work is in the studio with us today, Miss Kiara Troy Harbin. We're going to hear from Kiara. Good morning, Kiara.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Doing well. So excited that you're here.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah, and so we're going to talk about the Backpack League, the Big Backpack League, brand new project, Evolve 502, and JCPS and many other partners making that happen. Also, the STEAM camp. You know, at LCCC, we focus on STEAM, S-T-E-A-M. that standing for the STEM careers, science, technology, engineering, and math. That's the STEM part. And then we always have right in the middle the A for the arts, because the arts are alive at LCCC. And so we're going to talk about those two summer camps. We're also going to talk about our other special guest who's here, Miss Destiny Chandler. Miss Destiny's here. Good morning, Destiny.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Excited that you're here as well. And you, as a lead of our VISTA program, have done a lot of capacity building around our youth services. And we're going to talk about some of that capacity building work you've done. Had a big event a couple Saturdays ago that you spearheaded. So we want to have that conversation. And then, Kara, we're going to also talk about what's coming up this Sunday with the kids culminating their summer STEAM camp experience, a project we're doing in collaboration with Lamont Collins and the team at Roots 101. He and Troy Bell, our arts camp director, are going to be producing an event over there at the Roots. Our kids are the feature talent, and they're going to really show what 8 weeks of instruction has done to transform their thinking and their ability to perform and before a live audience. So those are the things we're going to cover today. We're going to open our lines at the 30-minute mark. And if you're listening, you can call in with your question or comment. The number here at the studio is 502-571-1240. So good morning again, Akira. Let's just talk a little bit about how did it go from your vantage point leading these two summer camps over 8 weeks?
It was so amazing. I really enjoyed working with the kids, seeing the smiles on their faces every morning, showing up to the summer camp every morning. Both Backpack League kids and the summer STEAM camp kids, I really enjoyed it. It was fun. For the STEAM camp kids, they had me facing so many fears when we were doing different type of field trips. Going to Bowman Field, I was in the airplane with one of the kids, and I don't do well in the sky, so I faced my fears with that. It's all about doing stuff for the kids. They had me at the trampoline park at Defy Louisville doing flips and tricks, and it was fun. We had a great time. We had a really good time. And then the Backpack League kids, we was doing karaoke, and they were singing their hearts out to Frozen. It was a good time. I enjoyed it.
Awesome. And I know between the two camps, we had 50 kids enrolled. And I want to congratulate you for having a virtually incident-free camp experience. There were no complaints that I was aware of. And that's always a good sign from a CEO perspective. That means everything's operating smooth. That means everything was well planned out and well executed. And the staff did their job in taking care of the kids. And, you know, you mentioned the trip to Bowman Field, and that was one of my highlights to the summer camp because I had a chance to go out there and hang out with you guys. And so you actually went up in a plane, huh?
Oh, I did. I did. Yeah. It was fun. And I've been in a plane before, but it was smaller aircraft.
Yeah, I think you're talking about a single-engine propeller plane. That's a different than being in a jet, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It's different. And a lot of the kids that did participate in that field trip, it was their first time flying and being up in the air. So that was a really good experience for them. I did have some parents that was nervous, but they knew this is going to be something that my kid is going to remember, and they trusted us, and, you know, it was fun. It was really, really fun, and the kids learned so much. We got to do a tour of Bowman Field, see different aircraft, see the engines, and meet pilots. It was really fun. I enjoyed it.
You know, and having that kind of a STEM exposure, aviation is a major industry. It's a major science, you know, learning the field of aviation. And it's more than flying planes, you know. It takes a lot of disciplines to run an airport. You know, you gotta have the, when I graduated college and with an engineering degree and worked in engineering at the airport, and I wasn't a pilot, but I was involved in designing airport runways and roadway systems, building them and making sure that contractors were compliant. Because in that field, it's highly regulated. You know, there's a thing called the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration. It has a lot of regulation on how to keep, you know, air traffic safe. And it has to be safe, because when you say that it could be a dangerous, if you didn't know what you were doing out there, just think about how it is driving cars on the street. And then you're talking about taking planes up and down from the ground to the air and back down. And then they're flying all over the place, but it has to be tightly regulated. So I'm glad that the kids have the experience, because I agree with you that these kinds of experiences for life, for school-age kids, have lifetime implications. Certainly there's going to be a memory they will never forget, but it also might spark some curiosity of something that they may want to study and learn more about. Wouldn't you say?
Yes, and we actually had one student, he knew every plane, and I'm like, you should be a pilot one day. And he was really, really considering it. And that was the field trip that I think he was really like, I like this, I enjoy this. And he was so into it, whether it was flying the planes, and we got to meet a guy who was actually building his own small aircraft. So that was pretty cool to see the start of the engine. And that's all he had at that time. So next year, or in 2 years, I believe he said he'll have it finished. It'll be really interesting to see, you know, bring those kids back. Like, this is what we saw when we first got here. And then now he has a whole small aircraft.
That's awesome.
So it was interesting.
So you had exposure to aviation, but you also had exposure to biotechnology. So how did that work with the partnership with Bellarmine University, their Amgen Biotech Initiative? How did that, you know, tell me what the kids thought about that.
They enjoyed that. I think it was really different for a lot of them, because they was working with like pipettes. But when I was sitting there watching some of them in the class, they were, you know, answering the questions, and I was just, you know, amazed, because it, you know, they were only there for a week, and just all the stuff that Bellarmine University was able to teach those kids in a week's time. And then they learned how to do a little bit of coding and bio, robotics, sorry.
Yeah.
Coding and robotics with Girl Geek as well.
So, oh, yeah.
Yes, it was really amazing. And they were able to code their own small little robots. And the way she had it, it was like these specific markers that you have to use, that it's like the only thing that the robot can read. And they were able to draw they made their own maze, and then the robot changed colors as it was going around the paper. And whatever the maze, if they used black, it would turn black. If they used blue, it turned blue. So it was really interesting. And doing the coding and then doing the pipettes with Bellarmine, they really enjoyed that.
Awesome. I'm so glad you brought up the Girl Geek, because I know she was your soror, right?
Oh, yes. Skiwi to all my sorors out there.
Yeah, and as an African-American engineer, tell me her name again.
Miss Charisse Lattimore.
Miss Lattimore, yeah. Dr. Lattimore. Yeah, she was great as a scientist, and the way she presented herself, I'm sure, especially got the girls looking up and saying, I want to be like her.
Yes,
right?
Yes. And I think that was a plus, the fact that she is a woman in the, you know, engineering and robotics and coding. It was, you know, it was different for our young black kids that we did have in the STEM camp.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So a great STEAM camp, and I know there was a focus that Troy Bell, the phenomenal Troy Bell, who brought to our kids that hopefully we'll hear from Troy before the end of the show, because I know he's excited about what's coming up Sunday. I know I'm excited about it. And maybe you can tell our listening audience a little bit about what to expect, because one of the things we set in motion at the beginning of the camp was a vision for taking a set of STEM-related career experiences, the learnings that we're talking about, like biomedicine, robotics, aviation, and there were other STEM-related experiences that the kids got, but how they could take that learning and internalize it, let it inform and enrich them, but also put them in a position where they can express it through arts. And so through the arts of dance and music and drama, and that was the work that Troy did in organizing the event. So can you talk about that whole vision and how you see it playing out? I know it's going to happen this Sunday, but you can tell our listening audience about that.
So with the STEAM camp, the kids were able to do, like you said, a variety of different STEM activities. And then Mr. Troy Bell and his crew, they did the art side of things. And I think we have him on the line, too. So
there he is, Troy Bell. Good morning, Troy.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Hey, thank you for calling. We appreciate you responding to the call. And we were just plugging the STEAM camp experience, and we're just about to talk about 1963 Steel.
Oh, yes.
The same shot.
Yes, yes.
Your vision
same
for having the kids ready to perform and express what they learned over the summer this week. Can you let our listening audience know first the vision behind that, and then what it took to get the kids ready, and then what we can expect to see over at Roots and how we can get connected to that?
Sure, I'd love to. So the vision came out of a place of just not forgetting where we've come from. If we as Black people don't first take the initiative to preserve our history, whether we like it or not, agree with it or not, it's still our history. If we don't take the initiative to preserve it, then that'll be the reason why we will eventually lose it. And so with that, there were some very, very significant events that happened during the Civil Rights Movement during 1963 that I thought would be very vital to the kids having as just information of knowing where Black people come from. And so that was wonderful from a educational and historical point, and wonderful information for the kids to play with and produce this wonderful arts piece that we're going to share on Sunday. The events start with the June 12th assassination of Medgar Evers. We move from there and go to the second event that we will highlight, which is the August 28th March on Washington. We're just a few weeks from that actual anniversary date. Then we move on to the third event, which is the September 15th bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama, that while it was five little girls there, four of the little girls died in that event. One of the little girls were the sister of the one little girl that survived that nobody for many, many years wasn't even talked about. Sarah Rudolph Collins, or Sarah Collins Rudolph, is touring the nation with a book that she wrote called The Fifth Little Girl, letting people know that there was five little girls that was in that church. And it's a wonderful story. So that is the third piece that we will acknowledge. The fourth piece that we acknowledge is the Zen Project in Chicago, where the Chicago schools were boycotted, and we've got some nice musical reflections there, and Black Pride shown as well. The final and fifth event that we will acknowledge in this piece is the November 22nd assassination of President John F. Kennedy, who was said to be thought of as the first Black president, but
yes,
that just shows you the how well he was endured and loved amongst of Black people. Now, there is something fun. Also, in November of 1963, Michael Jackson, little Michael Jackson, made his debut with "Climb Every Mountain" from The Sound of Music. He was a little boy then. And that also happened in 1963. So the only reason why
he would have been 5 years old.
Exactly. The only reason why I'm bringing that up is because in as much as we could gravitate to those happy things and those wonderful things, that, because I mean, these kids that I have, none of them know Michael Jackson the way I know Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they love his music.
Mm-hmm.
And since that was going on during that time, I just really thought it'd be neat to show what was going on during that day when a cute little boy, Michael Jackson, won the hearts of many, just being this little Black self, not really in tune to the racism that was going on during that time. But all of that is showing, even though it's the 60th anniversary of all of those events, the point of the piece that we're showing Sunday with kids is that it's still the same shot.
Still the same shot. And so through the lens of the children who experienced that history, talk about what they learned and how they will express what they learned on Sunday.
Man, they have learned some wonderful poems, some wonderful footage that we've got to expose the kids to, of Medgar Evers speaking, and as well as Martin Luther King, from those famous I Have a Dream speeches. I wrote a poem on Medgar Evers that the kids performed well. But not just that, the camp was the STEM camp that we added an A and made it called STEAM camp. There was a science element, there was a technology, engineering, of course the A stood for arts, and the M, I believe, for mechanics.
Mathematics, brother, you know that's my subject.
Mathematics, and since you said that, thanks for correcting me. That's where science met math, and we were able to talk about hidden figures like Katherine Johnson, and it was just a wonderful collaborative piece of education meeting the arts. And I think the kids, this was a first time us doing something like this. This was a totally new switch, and the kids were absolutely wonderful, and you will see if you come, when you come, to our red carpet event Sunday at Ruth at 2 o'clock.
It's at 2 o'clock, okay. And then Kiara's got the flyer up. She's going to give everybody the details in just a moment. But I just want to take a moment, Troy, to say thank you to you for teaming up with Kiara and the rest of our staff at LCCC. Thank you to team. You know, shout out to all you guys. You know, Darian, Kiani, Devin,
and great working
again with my childhood friend, Lamont Collins, over at Roots. So we're looking forward to reuniting this Sunday.
Yeah.
So again, just thank you for that great experience with the kids. And I just want to remind our listening audience that, you know, what we're talking about here are very young children. These children are 6, 7, 8 years of age, elementary school age kids. that have gone through 8 weeks STEAM camp at LCCC. And I'll let Kiara tell you the rest, but they are going to show us what structure and coaching and love support and caring and feeding. You know, we take good care of these kids for, what did you say, 30 hours a week, 8 weeks?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
you know, financially, Mr. Field, it's the best thing going. When we broke it, when we broke the fee down, $400 that LCCC was asking for this camp, you know, that narrowed down to $10 a day, and the children are with us from 8:30 to 3:30. I can't think of an institution that you can go anywhere and pay $10 a day for your child to be there from 8:30 to 3:30, eat, be taken care of, be taught, and go away, you know, better than what they came for $10 a day.
You can't pay your niece to babysit for you for that kind of money.
No, not without her looking at you crazy.
So, Gary, can you let our audience know what's happening at Roots this Sunday once again?
Yes. So, this Sunday, August 13th at 2 p.m., we will have our Derby City premiere of 1963, Still Same Shot. They will be featuring our 2023 STEAM Camp students, and it will be at Roots 101 African American Museum. That's located at 124 North 1st Street. So it is a red carpet event, so please dress up and look nice. The kids will be all dolled up. They was ready for that event. They're so ready.
Yep. And the same thing, it'll be even greater this Sunday. We strategically picked that time of 2 o'clock for people who go to church so that the kids could go to an earlier service at church and come right on all dressed up. So I encourage all the churchgoers, all the teachers, all, you know, anybody who has an appreciation and love of supporting children to please meet us at Roots Sunday at 2 o'clock.
And what's the ticket cost?
Oh, it's free. It's a free event.
Say it again.
It's a free event.
So we expect to have a packed house for sure.
Yes.
And I know that we're going to have a lot of the families of the children there. So hopefully we have enough seats for everybody. I know it'll probably be standing room only, but it'll be worth it.
Of course. And it wouldn't be more than an hour. So, you know, nobody would have to get bent out of shape feeling like they're coming to an event after church that taking them all the whole day in time. No, not that at all. So we're going to be in and out, and we're going to leave better than what we came, I promise.
And Troy, before we let you go, is what about the documentary piece? Is that still part of the production?
That is the piece at all. This is the world premiere of the first time that LCC through the Kids Arts LCCC through the Kids Arts Academy has done a documentary film. At this point, I'm just going to go ahead and call it what it is. It's a movie, and it's 1963, Still Same Shot. It's going to be wonderful. If I keep talking, Mr. Fields, I'm going to blow it.
All right.
I hate to blow the element of surprise.
All right.
So people know that you're coming to see something that's a first time. It's the first for us at LCCC. And the collaboration between the LCCC, Roots 101, and Mr. Breland Thompson from
Presbyterian
Church USA.
Yeah.
He has his own company, Media Pros Productions, and they have produced this film. If nothing else, our kids walked away feeling like stars, having a whole week of being followed around and shot, you know, in different parts of the city. And I am just so excited.
I am too. And I'll say this, we're going to take a short break right after this. But when I came down to visit the kids down at Presbyterian and at Roots, and to see our kids, like I said, the very young elementary school age kids, we had the street down there, First and Washington, looking like a scene in New York City of a movie being shot, and these kids were just performing like pros. We like to celebrate that because we always hear the negative side of what goes on with African-American children, especially as it relates to their educational. But we know that when they get what they need, they will always rise to the occasion and make us proud. So thank you guys for plugging that. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation with Kiara Troy Harbin and Miss Destiny Chandler, who's here ready to talk about some of the VISTA impact work. So give us 1 minute and we will be right back.
The third annual African American Golf Expo and Forum is being held August 19th through the 22nd in Louisville, Kentucky. AAGolfExpo.com for more details.
The African American Golf and Expo Forum is organized by Jim Beatty Golf Ventures and the African American Golfers Digest.
Dedicated to golf instruction, merchandise, history, education, and jobs for everyone. Day one.
The Shawnee Golf Course has its first tee program. Youth golfers, adaptive golfers. There will also be a kid marketplace.
Day two.
Come to the Oxmoor Country Club for the Jim Beatty Invitational and participate in the three holes in one contest, longest drive, and CTP contest. There'll be a cigar experience and unique hole activation.
Then get over to the Gold House for days three and four,
because there'll be education forums, an exhibition hall, marketplace, a fashion show, a movie premiere, career fair, and a health fair.
Sponsored by Golf Digest, Golf Pride, Invited Clubs, Heaven Hill Brands, Louisville Tour, EbonyGreens.com, EbonyGreensTM.
Hey everyone, this is Kiara Troy Harbin, LCCC's Youth Education and Fine Arts Coordinator. I want all school-age youth, parents, and caregivers to know about enrollment opportunities at our center. The arts are alive at LCCC, and we are excited to invite you to come experience our Kids Arts Academy, Teen Leadership Council, and many other positive developmental experiences for our youth. Through community partnerships, our spring and summer programs are packed with lots of fun, learning, and leadership opportunities for young people. We'll have visual arts, music, dance, drama, technology, academic coaching, and an introduction to biotech. But I won't give it all away. These are just a few of activities offered by LCCC's Youth Services. If you need something fun and positive for young people to do, contact us today to get enrolled in our program. Visit our website at lcccnews.org or call us at 502-583-8821 for more information. LCCC, leading with vision, educating on economic mobility, advancing equity, developing quality.
Hello, everybody. This is Destiny Chandler, VISTA Community Impact Ambassador at Louisville Central Community Centers. Please tune in every Thursday at 9 a.m. right here at Louisville's Gospel Station, WLLV 101.9, LCCC's weekly community fairs hosted by our CEO, Mr. Kevin Fields. Learn about our mission of advancing equity and hear the latest news on education and economic empowerment opportunities for children and adults in our community. Hear from our special guests and join the conversation by calling in. Don't forget to tune in to our history-making broadcast, Russell on the Move, every Thursday at 9 a.m. right here at Louisville's Gospel Station, WLLV 101.9 or WLLVonline.com.
And welcome back. This is Kevin Fields here in the studio with Kiara Troy Harbin and Destiny Chandler. And we're talking about the youth services at LCCC. And we're talking about kids in general. And, you know, we want to maybe start this segment by just talking about the season that we're in, the season of back to school. And I want to reflect a moment, and I want to thank Ms. Diane Porter, who is chair of the Jefferson County Public Schools Board of Education. Last week, my dear friend Diane Porter convened a meeting over at our building at 1300 Ali and invited black leaders from throughout the community. I would say there was maybe about 30, 35 of us there. And she wanted input. She wanted leadership input because she was letting us know, and she was preparing for what's happening this week with back to school. And for this year, this school year is a different school year in the sense that the Jefferson County Public Schools has announced and implemented its new school assignment plan. And so there's a different paradigm happening, especially with the younger kids this year. And so Ms. Porter wanted to know kind of what we thought. And, you know, we went through some of the SWOT analysis. What did we think are the strengths and the weaknesses of the district? What kind of opportunities? What kind of threats? You know, what's our best recommendation for how to improve? And ultimately, it's all about the students, the children, and how do we close the achievement gap? We still have this issue of an academic achievement gap between, you know, African-American kids and their white counterparts. And it's a significant gap, and it doesn't seem to be shrinking. In fact, the data shows that it could be growing, and certainly it's lingering. And so yesterday was the first day of school, implementing the new school assignment plan. And that means, you know, everybody's got to learn a different process for, you know, school administration. That's everything from transporting the kids to and from schools, getting them in the classrooms, getting them assigned to the different schools and so forth. And then we learned last night with the news, and this morning all over the news, the problems of what happened on the first day of school. Reports that some kids who were transported via school bus did not get home until, you know, nearly 10 p.m. last night. So obviously there's a problem, or maybe a few problems, that need to be addressed. So the school system decided to cancel school today and tomorrow and figure out how to solve some of those problems and maybe give it another go on next week. So we want to have a little conversation about that, not to focus so much on the problem, because we're going to trust that the district can handle whatever the problems they need to handle administratively. But the focus has to be, what do we need to do as a community to make sure our kids are ready and ready to do their best work? And that's part of why we do summer camps, is to make sure the kids have a great summer experience, so that they can retain what they learn in school, they can grow new knowledge and skill sets, and then they can go back to school energized and ready to learn even more. But I want to come to our experts here, and I want to first come to Ms. Destiny Chandler, because Destiny, you know, in the first segment, we heard Troy Bell talk about a lot of what happened in 1963, and he talked about five events, and the last one he talked about was this assassination of JFK, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, who was our president at that time. And he's well noted for many things, but one of the things he's noted for is he founded and signed into law the AmeriCorps VISTA effort that's been a part of American society ever since the 60s. And you are a VISTA Impact Ambassador with LCCC, and you're the lead of that group. And we've got a great VISTA team that you're leading for us. But that means you're there to do a lot of volunteer work, a lot of impact work. And that's been demonstrated, I think, in a lot of ways, but most recently in a big back-to-school bash. So I want you to talk about it. You're an educator as well. Talk about, from your vantage point, the importance of having kids ready to go back to school and what communities like us need to do to make sure that they're ready.
Well, I think the back to school bash was excellent. And I remember you and I sat down and you said, "What is your vision for the back to school?" And I said, "My vision for the back to school is to reach the community, and not only the community in the Russell neighborhood, in the community surrounding the Russell neighborhood, but other communities in Louisville." And we did just that. We did that and just more. And we had a line out the door. We, you know, ran out of school supplies. Not that we didn't have enough, but we had more than enough. But it's the fact that we did what we were supposed to do in our mission. With that being said, I think the importance of the back to school is making sure that they have what they need to be successful, because it takes education, it takes technology, school supplies, a good support system, it's just many factors that people need to realize that takes school kids being successful.
Awesome. Carol, what would you add to that?
Just always having good community centers like Louisville Central Community Center and other community centers within the area, not just in the West End area, but all over Louisville's district, and having those centers and even churches and, you know, making sure different organizations coming together so we're able to do things like back to school events and just giving kids just, you know, preparing them and helping the parents out, relieving a little stress off the parents because they already have a lot going on, especially when you have multiple kids, different schools. Parents have a lot going on. So as a community, it's our job to add to, you know, it takes a village, and it's our job to add to that and just relieve a little stress, whether that's providing school supplies, providing services, providing free haircuts, just giving kids like a, you know, getting them prepared and ready. Because again, some of these kids are kindergartners. Some of them probably never been around other kids or never been in school. So just preparing them, getting them excited, you know, fifth graders, last year of elementary, sixth graders, middle school, and, you know, seniors and ninth graders. It's all about just preparing them and getting them excited. And I believe it was Saturday, we were driving down Broadway, and it was a shopping center, and they had music playing. It was kids out there just having fun. I saw so many little girls with their hair braided and different colors and this stuff like that, giving free haircuts, just little stuff like that, just to get kids, you know, in the spirit, and not just the kids, the parents, in the spirit of getting their kids ready for back to school.
You know, that's well stated, both of you guys. And, you know, making events happen, you know, organizations coming together, supporting families. You're right. It's exactly what it's all about. And one of the things you touched on that I, Kara, that I agree with both of you, but the point you made about getting kids excited, I like to say getting them motivated. I think that in my experience, as a student, I was once a young student, believe it or not, and there was I was always a pretty good student, but, you know, just like most kids, you know, if you can do well, and I was watching the replay of the Dr. Juwanza Kanjufu, where he wrote about the conspiracy to destroy black boys, and he talked about the fourth grade syndrome. And basically, in a nutshell, he's suggesting that kids can do okay in school if they, you know, have decent intellectual capacity. They can be good learners from the first to the third grade, especially with boys. But in the fourth grade and up, their influence comes more from their peers than from the authority figures, like their teachers, even their parents. And so you'll see that slide happening as kids get upwards of, you know, toward middle school and then on into high school because of the peer influence. That's where delinquency sets in. That's where, you know, these behaviors begin to shift away from things. Not all kids, but too many. And it affects them academically. And I can say that as a personal testament because I experienced some of that in my life and became kind of an average student for a period of time. But then the difference between being average and being a high achiever and came from getting myself motivated. And the motivation for me was real simple. There was, you know, a direction in life that I wanted to go toward and a direction in life that I wanted to go away from. And I had to decide, what am I going to do? I got to really buckle down if I don't want to go back. I got to go forward. So I think you made a great point. Getting them excited, getting them motivated. But as Destiny said, and you said too, making sure that they have everything that they need. So let's talk a little bit about what happened yesterday. And folks, our lines are open. If you want to call in to be a part of this conversation, you're welcome to join us by calling 502-571-1240. We want to know, I want to start with Kiara and Destiny. Start with you first, Destiny. What do you think the problem was for yesterday, first day back to school, and things may have, in some cases, went haywire? What do you think happened?
Honestly, I think change. I think change can be scary for anybody. And so when you have a parent, when a parent has two kids, and one, like my one friend, she has two kids, and they're both in elementary school, and one of her kid goes to school early at 7:40, and then the other one goes to school later. So then she's like, well, that puts me in a predicament because I have to change my schedule because, you know, who's going to get my kids on the bus? They're not self-efficient enough. They're in kindergarten and first grade. They can't walk to the school bus, and I'm, you know, a single parent, and, you know, change is just scary. And so when you're changing things and you're changing dynamics, and sometimes, you know, you just don't have the, like Kiara said, it does take a village, and sometimes people don't have that village. And so there's many factors I feel like that the school district should have been considering. Okay, what does it look like for a parent who has multiple kids who are on different schedules? So I think it'll get figured out like many things in life does, but I don't know. I think it's just,
but there, it might get figured out, but there could be some casualties along the way, meaning not in terms of human casualties, but it could be losses. You know, like you said, change comes, and sometimes in order to get the kids on the right bus to go to the right school, you might have to change where you live, or you may have to change where you go to work, or you may have to change your hours. But what do you think, Kiara? What do you think happened?
I definitely agree with the change. And then it's a new year, and I understand that, you know, with the shortage of bus drivers and even teachers, it's a lot that we're trying to do and trying to figure out and trying to make things more efficient for everybody. But sometimes trying to do for everybody, some people get lost. I agree with Destiny. Like, it's just the change. And then, you know, I know some people who, like you said, like some kids did not get home until 10 p.m., which is kind of, for a parent, that's kind of scary. Mm-hmm. Not kind of, that is scary. If your kid's on a bus, especially if they're young, they don't have phones, you don't know what to do, you're calling around. Like, it's just, it was just a lot. And we all know that the first day of school, you know, it takes a few weeks to get, like, in the rhythm. But this year was really different. So I'm just hoping that these, you know, Thursday and Friday that the kids have off, I'm just hoping that something happens, and, you know, something is different. So come Monday, you know, these kids are getting home at a decent time. You know, kids aren't being left on bus stops in the morning. I just hope everything is just figured out and worked out, and understand that it will still take some time, but definitely come Monday, it has definitely got to be better than what it was yesterday.
And I remember when I was in high school, when I went to Louisville Male High School, and my mail was not by my house, and I had to go to a compound, and we could not pull out of that compound until all the buses were there. Yep. So that means if many factors could come into that, where all, like, one bus. And so I remember that one time they were like, we're just waiting on one bus. And we waited for hours. And I was supposed to get home at 3:05. I did not get home till 5:30, 5:45. And that is scary because not everybody can afford phones. Not a lot of people have phones. A lot of people's phone may go dead. So I remember my friend, she was texting me this morning saying that, you know, parents were upset thinking their kid has gone missing. There's many theories that, you know, they ran out of school lunches yesterday because they didn't have a lot of lunches. So I think a lot of change has to be met in these next couple of days. So I just hope that, I think they'll get it together, though. I really do.
So what would you guys recommend to the superintendent, and I point out both of you guys are elementary education majors, so you're teachers, right? And so if you experience this from a teacher standpoint, what would you want your superintendent to think and do, and what would you say?
If I'm being honest, consider how the times, how everything was before. Not saying that that was like all great and that it worked, because I'm not in the JCPS school district. It's a lot of factors, so I'm not sure, you know, what all goes on. But definitely consider going back to the original times for kids, and try to figure out this bus driver shortage, whether you have to offer incentives or more pay, something, just to get other people on board. But, you know, that's my recommendation or consideration.
Destiny?
I say listen to the teachers, because the teachers are there 24/7. They're not the ones on the outside looking in. They're living it day by day and going to school, waking up at 6:30 a.m. or 5 o'clock, and you know, and interacting with the kids. So listening to the teacher's needs, understanding is another one. Comprehending many factors of the new time changes, the positives, the pros and cons of it. And I think, yeah, I think that's all that I would recommend.
Well, I like what both of you are saying. And, you know, one thing I thought of and that I would add is I think they need to have meetings with the bus drivers. You know, if there's going to be issues with transportation, the people who's behind the wheel have to be talked to, not just, well, not talked to, listened to, because they have the problems. They can define the problems better than anybody. Mm-hmm. If anybody, you know, knows why the kids didn't get home till 10, it's the person that was driving the bus. What did they experience that mm-hmm. caused that to happen? I don't think they would have done it intentionally. It had to be something that caused that. I think they need to listen to the drivers and make adjustments. But, you know, one of the bigger prevailing issues, and, you know, me being of my generation, you know, most of my public education years happened before desegregation, before busing. You know, we were all going to whatever neighborhood-based school, and we were very segregated because of that, because we are a segregated community. And so, you know, the deseg plan was designed to address, you know, those disparities in education that happened because of segregation. And it's been a big political policy debate ever since. And there's still people that don't believe that we should be transporting kids, period, to and from public schools. So I'm sure that this will add fuel to that debate, this situation. So, but we do hold on to the idea, and this comes from the leadership within our community. The NAACP is very active in that space around addressing the DSEG plan and making sure that JCPS holds on to its commitment for desegregation. I know that the school board, while they might be divided, majority feel strongly that we continue to operate toward a DSEG plan. But this year's plan was designed to also mitigate some of that transportation problem by suggesting that you could have a choice of going to a neighborhood school. And I think that's part of the problem is, you know, we're in a season of change. And as Destiny started the conversation talking about change, that's a reality. You know, when change comes, sometimes we're not prepared. Mm. And we got to learn through the experience. But as I think we've heard, you know, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. The focus has to always be on the kids. I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to have closing comments. And, you know, we're getting excited about our upcoming fall program at LCCC. And we do want our community to know about our out-of-school time program. We do operate September through May. in an out-of-school format. And Kiara, I'll ask you to address that in terms of how do our community get connected to out-of-school time services at LCCC?
So if you are interested in after-school activities for your children, please, please, please contact LCCC at 502-583-8821. Or you can visit our website at www.LCCCnews.org. And that way, if you contact us by phone or through the website or email, you're able to get in contact with us and more so myself, and we can get you enrolled for our fall programming, which will be a culmination of visual arts, dance, drama, and other activities. So definitely looking forward to it.
What would you like to add on that, Miss Destiny? I know the Vistas are organizing more capacity building, not only in youth services, but talk about what Vistas are up to these days.
Our Vista team is just capacity building and getting involved in the neighborhood, in the Russell neighborhood, and not also just the Russell neighborhood, but the neighborhood surrounding the Russell neighborhood. So we plan to get involved in the community more.
And we know one of our Vistas, Sean Somerville, is heading up a major project, the African American Golf Forum and Expo, that's coming up August 19 through the 22nd. And if you have not gone out to that website to check it out, learn more about it, and apply, register. We did have Sean and Jim Beatty on a few weeks ago talking about that. And Jim extended a special offer to anybody that hears about the expo on Russell on the Move. So you go out there and mention LCCC, and you get a significant discount on your registration for the expo. So that's a Vista-led initiative. There is a city tour that initiative is hosting. Is it this weekend? Or no, next weekend. Next Saturday, there's a city tour that's going to be opening up that expo. Our other Vistas are engaged as well. Dr. Brian Psycho is working on the Grand Lyric Theater Project, helping to bring capacity to that. Ben Ruiz, our extraordinary graphic designer, is always helping us with marketing and PR capacity building work. Our co-host of this show, who's not here today, Herbert Johnson, is serving in a Vista role, and he is bringing capacity to our entrepreneurial development programs that come out of our Business Intelligence Center. And by the way, the Business Intelligence Center is really thriving with the Purpose-Driven Developer Academy that's currently in week six of a 10-week course. And then we're going to be rolling out a series of workshops coming from PNC Bank, helping entrepreneurs to be bankable and to know how to get access to capital through PNC. And so we want to make sure that you know about all these great programs that we're offering at LCCC. I want to close on this note. It's all about the kids. This is that season when we have to stay focused on the educational attainment of our children. And we've had a lot of conversation today about school-age kids, but I want to take a moment to talk about the preschool-age population, you know, the birth to five population that we serve at our Mini-Versity Child Development Center under the direction of Antoinette Gray and the team at Mini-Versity. We are enrolling at Mini-Versity, and we are hiring at Mini-Versity. And so that there was a time just a few years ago we were talking about stabilizing the Mini-Versity because we had gone through some rough times. Even before COVID, we had lost enrollment due to relocation of Beecher residents. Then COVID hit us, and we almost flatlined, but we're thriving. Big plug and big shout out to Antoinette for her great leadership. But call us, check us out. Kiara, give us the number one more time.
502-583-8821.
All right. Well, guys, thank you for being here and being great guests on Russell on the Move. And we're going to ask our listening audience to stay tuned, be blessed, be safe. Meet us at the Black Coffee. We'll be hanging out over there after the show. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Russell on the Move, LCCC's weekly affairs update on Russell and surrounding neighborhoods in West Louisville. We hope you enjoyed our show and took away news you can use to help lift your spirits and increase your prosperity. Join us next week as we continue our mission, equity advancement and community empowerment. For now, be safe, be blessed. Until we meet again, the LCCC. Leading with vision, educating on economic mobility, advancing equity, developing quality.